Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Sarah's here.
I am indeed.
Chris is here as well.
Good day to you all.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, none of us have been on a holiday for ages, but with the summer not too far away, some are beginning to tentatively make plans for a possible time away. Holidays are meant to be brilliant, but they don't always end up like that, of course. Today, we're answering this question: what makes or breaks a holiday?
I'll start this week. Yes. What will break a holiday is to break up with somebody just before you go on said holiday.
Chris. Are you speaking from
lived experience? I was with a girl for 3.5 years and we broke up a week before a holiday to Cyprus.
Chris, no.
Decided we wouldn't. It was an amicable breakup, even though it was a long-term one. Mm. We thought we may as well still go on holiday. We've paid for it now.
Chris, why? Why? No.
Not to lose money. And her best friend came. That was fun.
Not to lose money.
Yeah. Needless to say, it wasn't my favourite holiday of all time.
The thing is, though, like, it's not even a kind of like a travel-y type holiday where you could get there a couple of days and then go, do you know what? I'm off. See you later.
No, it was Cyprus.
All-inclusive, tiny island.
Not far from Ayia Napa. It was just one of those holidays where you end up at the Friends Bar or the Only Fools and Horses Bar for breakfast with chips.
Chris.
Yeah. It was interesting. Do you know what, though? It sounds worse than it was. It was a weird week in terms of, okay, so we've been together all this time, we've broken up, but we did manage to have an okay holiday and kind of say a long goodbye in a way.
In terms
of like you could kind of sit on a beach and reminisce and be like, all right, I do wish you well. And yeah, it kind of finished quite well.
Do wish you well. Cheers.
Yeah, yeah.
See you on the dance
Thanks
floor
for wasting
later.
4 years of my life.
Goodbye at Stansted. Like, see you never. Yeah.
Very awkward.
Yeah,
very
I suppose that the fact that you broke up before the holiday, that's crucial.
Yeah,
because if you'd have broken up
on the holiday, I found an article.
Nowhere to run.
Yeah, I found an article in the Guardian newspaper, "Holidays from Hell," and I'll just read this one out verbatim. Husband took me to Venice for a long weekend for an overdue anniversary celebration.
Oh, no.
On the second evening of four evenings in a restaurant overlooking St Mark's Square, he told me he wanted a divorce.
Oh, come on. Oh, no. Right. That's just being an asshole.
Yeah.
Have the conversation before you go. What was he thinking? And what did he think was going to happen? Then they then spend the two extra evenings just being like, well, bye.
Yeah, I'm going to take this. You're going to have that.
The flip.
I love your reactions. Oh, come on. That's just poor form. Come on. You're better than that. Like Jeremy Paxman, come on.
That is just ridiculous behaviour.
It's bizarre. As you said, like night two of four as well. I mean, I can understand
like final
on
night,
the last
maybe?
Night. Yeah. Oh, you know, but the second night is like, he's got there for a night and thought, oh, this might still work next day. Nah.
Something's gone on.
Not even in Venice.
What did you think that was going to be achieved by doing this?
Why, Sarah, but some people do funny things, don't they? Some people will think, oh, you know, the relation's not that good. You know what we've got to do? We've got to move in together, or we've got to get married, or we've got to have a child, or something like that.
That'll fix it.
Yeah, this guy obviously thought Venice, that'll do. And after the second one, he's like, nah, I cannot do this anymore.
That poor person.
I feel sorry for her. I really
that
do.
I hope he
got on a gondola and she just pushed him away.
Yeah,
bye.
Even worse, if she didn't see that coming, she's like, oh, great, we need a holiday, we need to reconnect. Like, it's literally the opposite to what you would have dreamt of about that holiday, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, that's massively cruel.
That is a real holiday breaker.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Whereas another story from Holidays from Hell in this article in The Guardian. When I came into my room in the hotel in Salou, Spain, I discovered an unknown drunk woman sleeping in my bed. The hotel guard couldn't do anything about it, so I woke her up by myself and she left. I saw her in the restaurant the next day, but she didn't recognise me. I wouldn't recommend this holiday or hotel to anyone. And I think it was their mistake to serve cava for breakfast.
Oh, wow.
Don't serve sparkling wine for breakfast, for crying out loud. Do you know what's funny? I've had an awful holiday in Salou in Spain as well, which is, it's a couple of hours from Barcelona and is distinctly not Barcelona and a lot worse. Barcelona's a beautiful city and Salou is not great. God bless it. But yeah, I had, see, the for me, the thing that could break a holiday, food poisoning.
Was something I was thinking about.
Awful business. Was that going to be your answer, Sarah?
Yep, I haven't had food poisoning in years, but I had it really badly on a skiing trip.
Oh no!
Yeah, that is not a good.
How'd
time.
You get out your ski suit in time?
Well,
I mean, that's a lot of things to undo.
There's a lot of layers. And you know what? On the whole, no, obviously, sometimes you don't know. You know, you're in the hands of whoever's cooking your food or whatever. But if you're on holiday, you know, there are some places you're on holiday and you know things like, don't have ice in your drink. It's just not. It's not a good idea. Just don't do it. Don't drink the tap water. Don't do it.
Where on earth were you skiing?
Oh well, this was just. I think it was in the Alps, but
Madagascar.
I
Madagascar.
Don't...
I don't. There's too many slopes and there's much snow in Madagascar.
I think it was. You know, someone was cooking for a big group of people and. Maybe the food hygiene wasn't the best, but there are some precautions you can take, you know.
But... yeah, that's all. I mean, that is awful business, isn't it? I mean, I'm surprised. You know, you don't expect that in Switzerland or France or you know, whichever the part of Italy, wherever you were in the Alps. But yeah, I mean, when I was in Salou, that was the thing is, it was on a sort of a university sort of football-y type thing. Lots of universities had gone there and colleges playing a bit of sport. And we hadn't eaten anything all day and you're playing a lot of football. And okay, at the age of sort of 19, 20, you can do that for a bit. But even then you sort of go, hang on a minute, I need to refuel at some point. And there was this little sort of burger bar on this place. And they were selling these sausage baguettes. And I bit into mine and it was lukewarm. And I was a bit like, is that... And everyone just went... Everyone went, oh, yeah, it's fine. Everyone, it's all like that. But because I'm not a drinker, so I think everyone had a level of drunkenness, which perhaps protected them. You know, they say that red wine is excellent for trying to get rid of, you know, sort of bacteria and so on in your stomach. And I got absolutely poleaxed by food poisoning to the point of, we were only there for 4 nights and like 2.5 days were just gone. And I lost about 7 or 8 pounds, just over half a stone in like a day. And we got the coach there and back, which was about like 22, 23 hours, something like that. Oh, and I couldn't face having the coach journey back. So there was another guy, he was a late addition to the trip and he'd flown in and he was flying back. And it's madness, in those days, this was about 2003 maybe, just turn up at the airport like a flipping bus ticket and I just hopped on a flight. But yeah, the thought of getting the coach back, I couldn't do it. So I managed to get a flight back, which was, you know, cost a few quid, but it was, you know. But food, I mean, I've had food poisoning terribly. I had it in Cuba once. Oh. Fortunately, it didn't ruin the trip. I was just out for a day. And this was only a couple of years ago. So you sort of go, hang on, I know what this is about. Mm. Okay, just get your head down and get through this because you've got 2 weeks.
It can absolutely paralyze you, can't it? Like, all you can do is lie in your bed and run to the bathroom, and that
worst
is
thing.
It.
Yeah.
See, there was a poll for British holiday makers, things that ruin a holiday. Number one was bad service or unfriendly staff.
Nah, it's not the number one thing.
Well, yeah, I don't think Chris, it ruins it.
Well, I think these are people who are your typical package holidays, all that kind of stuff. Which I'm this is not me trying to take the moral high ground because I know people do this, but I'm not really one for sort of really a package holiday or anything. I prefer a more of a sort of a backpacker type holiday. Although, as I hurtle towards middle age, you know, that is that is sort of obviously less and less. But yeah, bad service I can imagine in a hotel would be. You know, that would put a dampener on things. But you don't think so, Chris?
I don't think it would be the number one thing. I think, like you said, I think your the food poisoning would be like far worse. Do you know what I mean? Well, I think it would be annoying.
Yeah.
Well, I've done a good package holiday. My tip is read as much of TripAdvisor as you can. Uh-huh. Never read the 5-star reviews. I can't be bothered.
Yeah,
I want the low reviews. Mm-hmm. And also I'll acknowledge that some people just like to complain, or they think if they write a bad, you know, review that they'll get a free holiday or something stupid. Mm-hmm. But if there's a theme throughout some of the reviews, mm-hmm. that's what you pick up on.
Exactly.
As well.
Exactly.
So I've had a few package holidays, but they've always been really good because I'm quite obsessive with reading the full gamut.
Oh, I am as well.
TripAdvisor.
Yeah, the other things in here, uncomfortable beds. Yeah, I mean, that is a bit annoying. Mm-hmm. Expensive is another one. I think to myself, well, if you're going to a country and, you know, you should know the lie of the land.
Your fault.
Exactly. You know that Iceland and Japan are really expensive, yeah. for example. You know, you know the places where it should be. And I haven't been to either of those countries. This is stuff
you
that
should have done
should,
your research. And also, like, you booked the holiday, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know why you can then be surprised when, oh, actually...
I thought you were going to give me money back when I turned up.
I asked my wife before we came on, like, oh, what would you choose? And she did say finance, but I think she was just like, when it's been a bit curtailed by that. Or we said on a previous show, what really bugs me is when they chuck tax on everything. So you might have budgeted really well, and all of a sudden everything costs way more than you thought because of all these taxes and stuff like that as well. So... I'll allow that one a bit more. Not that it's on me, but I kind of...
Yeah.
If your finances have been kind of decimated, then that does ruin the holiday.
Yeah, okay. Sure, Number 4 is bad food. Okay, I understand that. But I'm of the mindset, no matter where you go in the world, you can get something that you like. You can get a good meal. I appreciate some countries specialise in it than others. But again, I feel this is if you are...
Those golden arches are everywhere, aren't they, Marcus? You're fine.
not everywhere. They're not in Bolivia, for example, which is a country I've been to, but they do have Burger King. But bad food. Again, I think this is about a package holiday, you know. Number 5 is noisy people. I mean, I understand that. 6 is bad Wi-Fi, piss off. Small bathroom, the weather, not looking like the pictures, an insane departure arrival time. So again, this is painting a picture of a certain type of holiday. Which some people may or may not get involved with. Now, speaking of being a little bit more expansive, shall we say, with one's holidays ideas, we go back to that article in The Guardian, and I read, 20 years ago, I decided to go with my parents on a 2-week adventure to the Gambia in West Africa. If you're not sure where that is, it's sort of a little slither of a country within Senegal. We took off from Gatwick at stupid o'clock in the morning, and 6 hours later attempted to land in Banjul. Our plane was greeted by the army, pointing rather large guns at the plane. The pilot made the swift decision to fly us along the coast to Dakar, where it would be safer. Dakar is in Senegal. Upon landing, we were told that we were in the middle of a military coup due to non-payment of wages and would not be allowed to stay in the Gambia. The pilot attempted to refuel the plane, but there was a heated discussion about whether or not the airport would accept a credit card payment. There was talk of a passenger whip round at one point.
What?
All right, come on, lads, cough up. We've got to get the military on our
backs. We've got to get home somehow, come on.
Exactly. 6 uncomfortable hours later, no refreshments left and the toilets were overflowing. Oh. We arrived back in Luton. After a very long and stressful journey, we'd been diverted as it was the only airport with low traffic on a Friday night.
I must say, landing in Luton is enough to ruin anything. That airport is horrendous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean that literally broke the holiday because they didn't get to go where they were intending to go. But I chatted to a... Oh, it's mad. I chatted to a guy once upon a time, and him and his wife were on holiday, and they were doing a sort of an interrailing, you know, travel a bit around Europe in, I'm pretty sure it was the late 80s. And I think it was Romania when the uprising happened in 1989. But anyway, I could be wrong there. But the long and short of it was, they were in the airport, and they knew that there was sort of stuff going on, but they were waiting to fly out. And a sort of a coup kind of, I don't know if it would be actually officially a coup, but that sort of thing happened. And the military turned up at the airport and we were like, well, we'll take it from here. Now, obviously, that's quite scary. But he said what happened was they were treated fine. They were taken to a nearby hotel. And then they were told, you're just going to have to wait because over the next few days, we will let one or two commercial planes in to come and get you. But we need to kind of make sure that we know what's going on. So that he said the next day they went back to the airport, no plane turned up, back to the hotel that evening. Then the following day they turned up at the airport and a plane did arrive. And it was just to basically, they opened the doors and everyone just went for it. Everyone just legged it to see. And he said not everybody got on the plane. And he said it was mad. But they did, fortunately. And then off they went and yeah. That's the kind of thing that can break a holiday.
It's the sense of unease. Even if you go back to the hotel, you're not going to be like, oh, we'll just have a nice time at the hotel. You'd just be stressed the whole time.
You would be. Although, if you get on that plane, I think that actually can make it, because what a story to tell.
Oh, no. I don't think I'd feel that way.
Oh, where's your... Do you know what? Something that nearly broke a holiday I went on is I was going to Ghana. It was... I mean, I suppose it's a little bit of a holiday, but it was a bit of a mission trip as well. And we were nearly denied entry into the country.
You
had to turn, yeah, nearly basically carted off, turned back round, and see you later. But we, you know, some sweet talking went on. And,
Why did they deny you, Marcus?
Because the guy who was in charge of the little group that I was with, there was only four of us from England. There was a number of people from around the world were sort of descending in this particular place in Ghana, and he hadn't got the address of where we were staying. So when they were said, where's the address? He was like, I'm not sure. Because you know when those little questions, when they go, the address of where you're staying, and you just go, find the holiday hotel on Holiday Street in the holiday bit.
In Holidayville.
Yeah, exactly. He probably just should have said something like that, although it was pretty obvious that, you know, we stood out and it was, you couldn't get away from one of those kind of answers. But he didn't have the address and the guy was like, yeah, you're not coming in. You need to have
it. An admin error.
It was an admin error, exactly. And then he said, look, our man will be waiting the other side. Can you let me through? These three will stay back. I'll go and find him and I'll let you know and I'll find the address. The guy agreed to it and we were like, yes! Off he went outside, came back and he's like, oh, I couldn't find him.
Speaking of admin errors.
Well, go on. Sorry.
Right. Speaking of admin errors, a friend of mine, I remember when we were in school, this is like basic stuff now, but... his mum was going on some kind of girls' holiday with her friends. Mm-hmm. And so I think they drove to Bristol Airport, or it was not an airport in South Wales where I grew up. They'd had to drive to an airport in England for this holiday. She got there, ready to go on the flight, ready to check in, and she'd taken my friend's passport, not her own.
Oh, gutting.
Oh,
absolutely like gutting. Well, we're talking about stuff that breaks a holiday. What makes a holiday? Because holidays are brilliant. There's loads of good stuff. And I'll give you the top 10 that the British people say. Good weather, lots of laughter, fantastic views. I do agree with that. Yeah. Love a bloody good view. Seeing something you've never seen before, like that. Good food. Being able to switch off, spending time with the family, doing activities you wouldn't normally do at home. Clear blue skies. Yes, that's certainly for people who live on the island of Britain. And meeting new people. My goodness, Chris, what a list of things. What makes a holiday for you, pal?
Well, you've just used them all up, really, haven't you? <for that? laughs>
Just crossing everything off my list I've got on my notes here.
I made a note. I did put holiday friends, but the flip side of that can be also quite annoying. You know when people want to be friends with you and you don't want to be friends with them, and you're kind of avoiding them around the resort or the hotel, and you're just like, oh, should we go to the bar tonight? You're like, no, I think they're in there. Let's not go stay in our room again. I've had it a few times.
Makes the holiday, Chris, not breaks it.
Yeah, so making a holiday, like actually making decent friends on holiday, which is like, it's just for the time. You're all on having a lovely old time. I've definitely had a few holidays where like that's been really nice and you see people in the evening and avoid them during the day because you want to chill out. But then come the evening, have dinner together, things like that. Love that. Actually, reminds me, I remember being on a trip across the US with my wife. We were on a train, a 38-hour train from Phoenix, Arizona to New Orleans. And on the train, there's a food like restaurant car. Mm-hmm. And part of the ticket was that you'd get all your meals provided. And we would you go there every meal time. Mm-hmm. And you get sat with a different couple. And that was amazing, actually, just over dinner, meeting new people.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
And what was fun is, you know, at the time... President Trump had just been elected and each couple we sat with were American and they would lean across the table and say, can we talk to you about politics? Because we can't talk to each other about it. And because we weren't American, we were neutral. Yeah. They wanted to have a good old chat over dinner, whether they were pro or anti-Trump.
But
I really enjoyed that, just meeting new people, just for a meal, and then, you know, off you go again. So, Yeah, that is quite interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I think one thing that really makes a holiday for me, and I know you're going to agree with me here, Sarah, lovely architecture.
He stitched you right up there.
Lovely architecture.
Beautiful vistas in places like Italy and Spain. Little cobbled streets, little tight, narrow streets. Beautiful. Come on.
One of my favourite things to do on holiday is literally, especially if you're in a city or somewhere, you need a little city break, to just stroll around the city and just go, oh, look at that. Oh, that looks funny. Oh, that's an interesting building. And not just beautiful ones, but like when I went to Krakow, which was a brilliant trip. Thoroughly recommend that when things open up. But, you know, it would be like, oh, there's still bullet holes in that building. Like, you know, oh, you can see where they've demolished something here. Like, I just love and I guess this is where having decent weather is helpful, but having a nice stroll around and maybe stop for a coffee, stop for a beer, but just, having a look at the architecture, having a look at all the different kinds of areas.
I couldn't agree more.
Does your love of history kick in?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, big time.
Yes.
The Krakow is a beautiful place. The old town as well. I mean, I went to Valletta in Malta. It's tiny, but my goodness, it's beautiful. Seville, these types of places, sort of roaming around these beautiful kind of Mediterranean style sort of cities. And as you say, popping in and oh, go on then, I'll have another little gelato, you know, or something like that. That to me, absolutely. But seeing stuff you've never seen before, I think is a huge thing. Was you quite like going back to the same place, Chris? Am I right in saying?
Yeah, I do. If it's a holiday that was good, you know, a good holiday. Yeah, I do. But I was just thinking. Sorry, I'm thinking about what you just said about what makes a holiday. When we were in New Orleans, what made a beautiful moment for us was that we found, I think it was one of the oldest bars in America. So it's one of the very first bars, hundreds of years old. And we went in there for the historical reasons, but actually it had two musicians on stage with two pianos, and they basically were doing this incredible live karaoke, and the whole bar was singing along all the songs. And that felt incredible, just this sense of community. A good old sing-song on holiday, very rare, but definitely made it for me.
Love that.
A good old sing-song. It's maybe some sort of sporting event as well. You know I like a bit of that. But Chris, you have quite a very sad story, not necessarily personally to you, but the wider context of something that could break a holiday, because you were in Sri Lanka when that awful terrorist attack happened.
Yeah, that definitely didn't make that holiday. Mm. We were weirdly... So our neighbour at the time, she worked in travel PR, and she gave us incredible itinerary. But we decided to go the reverse way around from what she'd stated, because we were staying in sort of one place for two nights and just moving around Sri Lanka, because it is an incredible place to go. And if you've never been, I encourage you to go. It's one of my favorite holidays, had it we not been there during a terrorist attack. Where we were very blessed is that we particularly wanted to stay at this one hotel, and the only nights it was available meant that we had to switch our itinerary. If not, we would have there's a good possibility we would have been in or near one of the churches that were decimated by the terrorist attack, because we'd visited the church a week before. So we'd actually been to visit it, and then a week later it had got bombed and a lot of people killed. But we were on a safari at the time, so we'd missed you know, all of that. But it really put a dark cloud on the last sort of 4 or 5 days of the holiday, because they were still searching for the terrorists. Obviously the country was in mourning, and actually, as somebody who'd been treated really well by, I mean, I love Sri Lankans and I love the people. Like, I've never been on a place. So, you know, when you go on holiday, there's always a fear you're going to get ripped off. You know, they're going to, like, you know, charge you 10 times the amount. We'd go to, like, you know, tip the place we were staying, and they'd give you half the tip back. They'd say, no, it's too much. Like, such incredible people, such wonderful people. So we felt obviously deeply saddened for the country that was doing, you know, it was starting to thrive after it sort of the civil war, the recent civil war and things like that as well. So that, yeah, that definitely broke that holiday. But I, yeah, if anybody's thinking of going, I would go. I mean, terrorist attack. The thing is that they can happen anytime, at any place, anywhere, right? And one of the reasons we chose Sri Lanka was we thought it was a safe place because it had never had that before. But yeah, it was horrific.
I think you obviously, I mentioned the kind of the Mediterranean sort of city break, which I absolutely love. But the other thing, and you did this in Sri Lanka, didn't you? You went to various places. You were there for a few days. You sampled it, and then you moved on somewhere else. And that's, I bloody love a bit of that. Cause Vietnam would be one for me, you know, going from the south to north in the country and all that. Just soaking up a bit of the culture and all that kind of stuff. But also fitting in a big old McDonald's as well, Chris. I mean, obviously we're in lockdown, so we can only... drift off into our mind's eyes, ladies and gentlemen, with this kind of stuff. Any sort of final thoughts, Sarah? Something that makes a holiday for you? Getting uncontrollably drunk and making the locals' lives a little bit more miserable?
I tell you what, you're really stitching you up today.
I know Sarah's a culture vulture with her architecture.
You paint Sarah out to be a raging alcoholic.
Every episode.
You made one faux pas on the first episode and he's never let you live it down.
I set the tone, didn't I? It was my own fault.
I mean, you do turn up to the show drunk most weeks, but we'll forget
that. Yeah, well, you know. what do I... I think can either make it or break it is the expectations you go with. I think... now, there's nothing wrong with having, you know, certain expectations. But if you kind of... massively hype it up of, you know, what it's going to be like. It's going to be the best holiday ever. We're going to have an amazing time. We're going to spend all the time together, just like laughing and having, you know, having so much fun. Then you can find yourself a bit disappointed.
I want a divorce.
Yeah, well.
Night two.
I would say maybe don't go expecting that, because that, why are you going?
Yeah, I was going to say,
But I do think, and especially some of the holidays I've really enjoyed have been when I've sort of not really had any expectations. Some city breaks where people have said, oh, it's a nice city. But you sort of get there and you're like, oh, wow, this is great. Mm. And maybe you find, like, I was thinking about, like, food and drink is an important part of a holiday for me. And sometimes it's kind of just when you are doing those, you know, wandering around the streets, you come across little places. And one of my real holiday happy place moments was I was in Copenhagen a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And we found just this little bar, and it was kind of bare inside. There was like nothing really there apart from just like stools and tables. But they did like... it was this like amazing wine, and just like there was something about the atmosphere in there was amazing, and we just had the nicest time. And I think because I'd gone in just kind of not really expecting anything, it was so good. So I think, yeah, manage your expectations, and I think you often find that you'll be really pleasantly surprised.
Did you ever go on a school trip, Sarah? Because I remember going on school trips, and they were always hugely hyped, weren't they? Like, if your class went and everyone was really like, oh, this is going to be the most amazing time. Did they let you down?
Is that where you've been burnt? I think actually all the school trips I went on were pretty great.
Where did you go?
I went to Berlin. I went to the Czech Republic.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. I went to Normandy. In year seven. That was great.
School holidays are brilliant.
They were always history trips, weirdly. But our history, like, we had this amazing head of history. And so, yeah.
They're not
going
to take you to Ibiza, are they?
No. Well.
I went skiing with my school.
Yeah, we went skiing.
That
as well.
Was, yeah, fantastic time. Absolutely brilliant.
Well, go on then. Regale us with a little story or two, Chrissy.
This is random, right? I have a cousin who is from Belgium, who's born there. His mum's from Belgium. His dad is English, and he moved over there. And I was skiing down a slope in the middle of France and skied past him and had no idea he was actually going to be on a ski holiday. And I rang my granddad and I was like, is my cousin on holiday? He's like, yeah, he's in France. I was like, I literally have just passed him on the slopes. And that was a really random event.
That is it's a small world.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Sarah, you've obviously said to the good listeners that they need to temper their expectations, you know, in a sort of a Jerry Springer kind of final thought there.
That's
just
me.
So anybody doesn't get ahead. Would you something that would break a holiday for you? Something people can watch out for.
All right. This one thing. will ruin your holiday. Don't get really sunburnt.
That's a great shout.
I'm surprised that the British tourists didn't include that in the things that could make a
wear
break
your
holiday.
Sun cream, guys. Trust me, you won't regret it.
Absolutely.
That's so true.
Absolutely. And we'll finish it on that very wise note, ladies and gentlemen. Because, I mean, you will always go to a country, nearly always go to a country which is sunnier than Britain.
You know? It's not difficult, is it?
Yeah, exactly. You ever done that? You ever left this island and you get somewhere else and you go, it's bloody colder than where I just came from. This is a load of nonsense. My goodness. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Christian Bell Answers this week. If you want to get in touch with us, we are on Insta and Twitter at AQQAPod is where you can get the good stuff. Give us a good review on the old iTunes or wherever you get your pods. That would be absolutely marvellous. But until next week, thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
See you next week, everybody.